Sláinte.
Sláinte.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Tom.
And this is Baby's First Watch List. Covering the podcasts are only the best.
Yes.
And today we have the best Lindsay Lohan movie newly released by Netflix this year, Irish Wish.
It is definitely the best in the past maybe 14 months or so.
There you go.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. So we're going to have clips from this episode. We have clips from many of our previous episodes. We didn't start with video. We didn't start with clips, but for as far back as you can remember, we have our clips up there. We have our future movie schedules, and we just made a Letterboxd. The royal we made a Letterboxd, so you can follow us at BFW Podcast, because Baby's First Watch List doesn't fit on Letterboxd.
It's a long title.
It is, at BFW Podcast on Letterboxd. We would love for you to follow us. We're going to be posting stuff. I'll figure out a fun way to use it.
But why not?
For now, go ahead. Get in on the ground floor.
Irish Wish, 5 stars.
We're jumping in on Irish Wish right now.
And let me tell you, we are on the cutting edge. The highly anticipated follow-up to last year's hit, Falling for Christmas.
Thematic follow-up. It's not an actual sequel.
No. Was released yesterday on the streaming platform.
Yes, which will be...
March 15th it was released.
4 days before it's released. When this comes out, it will be 4 days old.
There you go. This romantic comedy with a little bit of a fantasy twist, which I guess Falling for Christmas did too. Santa was in it.
Yeah, I guess. Does that count?
I don't know. Like, he was like magical.
Well, but it was like assumed that
Remember
he was.
Remember when he like showed up at like the end too?
Yeah, it's pretty clear in this one though that St. Bridget
is magic.
Magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was written by Kirsten Hansen, which is a really interesting pseudonym for an AI program.
Yeah, for ChatGPT. This movie was 1,000% written by AI.
There's simply no way it wasn't, right?
Anyone who's ever used ChatGPT for anything, I know people who use it for work, not like lawyers who use it for work, but I know some of my friends that I know have used it for certain things at work. It sounds like exactly the same as that type of stuff.
It's gotta be.
That type of work product.
And it was directed by Falling for Christmas director Janine Damian. And look, not a lot of people, including Janine herself, have Wikipedia pages.
Janine doesn't?
No.
That's amazing.
So we can't really go into that very much.
There's no proof that's a real person.
Yeah. I mean, that anybody's real.
She's in interviews.
She probably is real.
But it could be a stand-in.
So, yeah, she doesn't have one. The writer doesn't have one.
It's basically Lindsay.
Editor, cinematographer, music. No, nobody has a Wikipedia
Most of the
page.
Cast does not have Wikipedia pages.
But the executive producer, Michael Damian, who is Janine's husband, he was a longtime cast member of The Young and the Restless.
Yes.
So there you go.
That's something.
That's something.
All my soap heads out there.
I was never into soap. So
my mom. As a stay-at-home mom.
Did she do Young and the Restless?
So she was a hairdresser. She had a job, like a part-time job. But most of the time she was at home. And she was a 1 p.m. All My Children, 2 p.m. One Life to Live, 3 p.m. General Hospital, 4 p.m. Oprah.
That's the ABC circuit, right?
That was the ABC circuit.
I feel like that's what I would have been, too.
She was less of a Young and the Restless, less of a Guiding Light.
Yeah.
She was more...
I think All My Children would be, and I loved Oprah when I got home from school.
Well, Stephen A. Smith is on General Hospital.
All right, so maybe
James Franco used to be on one of them.
Yeah, I guess.
I know he started in soap operas,
and I think he did one like around after he was famous.
It might have been General Hospital or All My Children. It was definitely one of the ones my mom watched because she was like, "Oh, that's James Franco."
That's funny.
Yeah.
So Irish Wish stars Queen Lindsay Lohan, of course.
Listen, if this movie didn't have Lohan, we wouldn't have came anywhere near it.
It wouldn't have been watched. And Ed Spaliers, who is actually in a lot more than you might think. He was the lead in Aragon.
More than Court Overstreet from Falling for Christmas.
That's for sure. He was in Outlander. He was like a villain in Outlander. He was in Downton Abbey. And he was in the latest season. I think the fourth season is the latest season, right? Of the show You.
He was in everything your mom watched.
Literally, I feel like
and
my
you.
Mom is probably like... Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, everything your mom and Kaylee watch.
Yeah, exactly. I have not seen him in anything. He was all right.
We were with Alex today. We should have asked him about Aragon.
I should have.
I feel like he would have at least seen Aragon.
Definitely. I was not an Aragon
Neither
person.
Was I.
Jane Seymour and Aisha Curry, they also co-star in supporting roles.
I don't think Jane Seymour knew she was in this movie.
She's never on the same screen as anybody else.
Not a single person. That's so, in the other Irish part of the movie.
No, one person, the St. Bridget.
But are they on screen together?
She. Oh no! Or is it actually, they're not. Away? I don't think they actually
I'm pretty
are.
Sure it was a cut.
She trips over a bag, and then after it cuts back, it's revealed it's St. Bridget. So, no.
Jane Seymour.
Wait a second.
Jane Seymour, star of Irish Witch, is never on screen with any other.
And they're
person.
Just like, she's in Iowa.
Yeah.
Like, why is she in Iowa?
Like, there's so much left untapped here.
And she's just a principal, and she's just on FaceTime walking through school with, like, it's in between classes. There's kids everywhere. Like, yeah. What is happening? Yeah, her and Lindsay were not together a single second on screen.
No. I thought at least at the end we were going to get kind of like a mother-daughter.
Yeah,
thing.
No, nothing.
Nope.
Interesting. So this is the second movie in Lohan's two-movie deal with Netflix.
It's
so
only two
we
movies?
Might be done.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was three.
Yeah. She noted to Forbes that she was really excited about this deal because she really wanted to see more romantic comedies, especially since that's kind of how she got her start.
Sure. I respect that.
And she also liked that these movies focused on self-discovery for women, but done in a more lighthearted way. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's cool.
I mean, it's not that deep, but...
I like that she makes it like that. Like, that's nice. Filming actually did take place in Ireland.
That's where they spent the whole budget.
The Jane Seymour stuff, to be determined, but... Yeah. But
you were like a soundstage in Burbank.
I literally was like a soundstage in Burbank. But it was filmed in Ireland. And the movie, like we said, was just released on Netflix on March 15th, 2024. The reviews don't matter.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the reviews.
And the problem is, too, we could say what the Rotten Tomatoes score is, but literally, we checked like every 10 minutes.
Do you know what it is right
and
now?
And it kept going down. On Wikipedia, it was at 39, but it keeps going down.
Which is lower than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So as of 12:31 p.m. Eastern time on March 16th, 2024, Irish Wish has a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, so 39%.
And a 47% audience score.
But they do say in a lot of the reviews, like the consensus is that it's Lindsay's great as always.
With Lindsay Lohan in the lead, it almost doesn't matter that Irish Wish is a scattered collection of rom-com cliches.
I think that's about right.
Almost doesn't matter.
Almost doesn't matter. NJ Connection, not every movie needs one. I literally could not find
one. Well, as New Jersey residents, we will disclaim this movie from being part of the New Jersey canon.
There you go. Do you know Aisha Curry's Canadian?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I found out.
Canada Connection.
We have been to Ireland.
We have. We are the New Jersey Connection.
And so we, I guess, are the New Jersey Connection. So yeah. I'll take that.
We got engaged there. Our son has an Irish name.
Yes.
Your name means Ireland.
It does. we did get engaged there. Very nice. So... That's all I got for Irish Wish because honestly, like,
we're gonna zoom through this episode. I think.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be just a fun, quick episode.
I am changing it up a little bit. I'm not gonna do the plot summary, but I am going to say that this is what this movie is about. You ready? Lindsay Lohan is an editor
named Maddie,
and she edits a book for this guy, this author Paul Kennedy, and this book kind of blows up and becomes like a big hit.
Paul Kennedy's a great name.
It is a good name. Paul Kennedy is played by some guy I don't know who's pretending to be Irish, but he's actually Welsh. Also, the other thing is there's not zero Irish actors.
No
in this movie,
Irish actors.
Other
in
than
this
like
movie
the side people
that are on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no actor in this movie that has a Wikipedia page
that is actually Irish. Yes.
So she like is kind of in love with him, but he sort of hits it off with her friend Emma, and. Which is just another AI-generated name for a rom-com.
Same with Heather.
Yeah, Heather and even Maddie.
Yeah, they're just like, okay, what are names of people that were born in the 90s?
Yeah. So Heather is Aisha Curry, and there's the three of them that are friends, and they're hanging out with Paul, and Paul hits it off with Emma. We cut, and they're like getting married.
And Maddie's really sad about it.
And Maddie's sad. And so they're going to Ireland for the wedding of Emma and Paul, and she sits on a bench... and makes a wish that she...
To a fairy.
But she didn't think the fairy was actually there, and then she was there.
Well, it's St. Bridget. I don't know if she's a fairy.
She was described as a fairy.
Yeah.
And Maddie makes a wish that she would be marrying Paul, and then it's all hijinks ensue, and she's not happy with it, and he's not happy with it. And of course, she ends up with the photographer guy that she met who she tried to steal his luggage in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like exactly what I'm making it sound like.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Of course, everyone ends up happy. Emma ends up with Paul. Or does she just run off?
No, I think it's kind of implied that they'll end up together.
Oh, yeah. The complex writing.
You know.
And Maddie, of course, ends up with James.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
Who also not Irish, but...
He didn't claim
his character's not Irish, yeah. No. But yeah, again, another non-Irish person in this movie is the person that Maddie ends up with.
Yep.
And the tagline for this movie, be careful who you wish for.
I love that tagline. That's a great tagline.
It is a good tagline for the movie.
It fits the movie.
That one, we will give that one to a real tagline writer. We will not ascribe that one to
AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tom, do you have like notes that we could go through before?
I do. So because I wasn't doing a plot summary, I took a lot of notes as we were going through.
That's great. I took none because I was so into the movie.
So we'll do it this way. We'll start from the beginning. We started the movie with the Merriam-Webster definition of wish.
Yeah, that's not great.
On the screen with a voiceover reading the definition of wish.
I tell my eighth graders to never start with the definition because it's so cliche.
It is so cliche. This whole movie, every second of this movie is cliche.
Yeah.
I don't remember why I wrote this, but I said they couldn't even... Oh, this was when I found out. They couldn't even get an actual Irish guy. Like, his accent's off. It's like you could tell he's trying to put on an Irish accent.
Yeah.
When you compare him to the actual Irish
people in the movie.
Oh,
it's not even close.
Yeah.
He is Welsh. And Wales is really nice. I've been to Wales.
Oh, I'm not saying that...
But, and I went to Wales on my first time I went to Ireland. It's not the same place.
Another thing here. Being... somewhat familiar with Irish culture and Irish history.
A little bit.
Somewhat. I've dabbled. There is absolutely nothing about any sort of like conflict between Ireland and the UK, which is like almost a formative part of...
Well, they even have this weird thing that they say on... that Maddie says on the bus to James where she's like... Paul Kennedy is the most famous author in the UK or something, like he's a bestseller in the implying that they're in the UK and Ireland is not the Republic is not a part of the UK.
Right.
So the part of Ireland that they were in is not in the UK. So I'm like, no one that's Irish was actually involved in the creation of this movie.
There's also a part later in the movie when, so she had told James that her favorite author of all time was James Joyce. Okay, perfect. Irish. Great.
The Irish author.
Yeah. The only one that like every single person on earth knows.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, she's at like the rehearsal dinner or whatever. It was the rehearsal dinner.
Right?
And Paul is talking to her and they're like, there's like a weird like question game going on. And he's like, oh, who's Maddie's favorite author? And he goes, oh, it's Charles Dickens. And she's like, yeah, it's Charles Dickens. Like to play along because she didn't want to blow up his spot. But like, I feel like to use a British writer in that scenario is so, you could write it off as being like, oh, he doesn't even know her because he doesn't even know that Charles Dickens is British. Like, but no British person, I mean, no Irish person, I feel like would ever make that mistake.
No. Also, she says that like, I feel like I'm in a James Joyce novel, but his most famous novel is about like, grimy Dublin.
Well, it's not even like, his most famous novel. So they're at the Cliffs of Moher, and she's like, this feels like a James Joyce novel. But James Joyce is like notable. Like, if you like a lot of his stuff is either like wacky, insane, like Finnegan's Wake, Ulysses type stuff, or it's literally middle class Dublin,
mm-hmm.
which is not the Cliffs of Moher, which is not this beautiful scenery on the ocean
it's
or
just
whatever.
So funny.
Like, it's not at all representative of James Joyce.
I love it. I also love that she was like, wow, this place, like literally the most touristy place in Ireland.
I wrote that down. And there's not a soul there, first of all.
Yeah, that never would have happened because I've been there and it is very much packed.
Also, that scene when they're first there, when she meets him after the wish and they go there to take the pictures versus when everything gets reversed and she's going with him there at the end. Definitely the same footage. They're wearing the same exact clothes.
Absolutely. So good.
Let's see. Oh, so when they get in the taxi after the airport,
mm-hmm.
it's the worst green screen I've ever seen in my life. It's like, I literally think they spent the entire budget on Lindsay and on the flights to Ireland.
And on, I was going to say, and on the drone footage of Ireland.
They didn't spend anything on Jane Seymour either. And she's a legit actor. Like, she's a, yeah. If you don't know who she is, like, I know her from being the Rachel McAdams mom in Wedding Crashers.
No, but she's a legit actress.
Very, very famous for many other things.
But they didn't have to fly her to Ireland.
They didn't have to. They kept her in Des Moines / the soundstage.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. The brother, Corey.
What did I say? The second he appeared on screen.
Paul's brother. She was like, is that Mr. Beast?
I thought it was Mr. Beast.
I literally looked it up.
He looks just like Mr. Beast.
He did look like Mr.
Beast. I expected him on chocolate bars.
I expected him to like start commenting on the movie.
It's legit. I thought it
or
was
like,
Mr.
Or like
Beast.
Give them a lot of money or something.
As it turns out, not Mr. Beast.
Not Mr. Beast, unfortunately. I mean, no disrespect to this guy, but it would have been hilarious if it was,
Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast.
Like, because Aisha Curry was in it, so like, why? Like,
it
it's
could
not,
have been like
it's
very
not
much
that
been.
Far out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, Mr. Beast would have been a really interesting casting choice as an Irish brother.
Yeah,
but
Mr.
alas,
Obeast, Mr. McBeast. Okay, speaking of which, the stereotypes in this movie are ridiculous.
It's so good.
There's every piece of the score has either a swelling violin or flutes.
Yeah,
like an Irish flute.
Say what the bar's named.
Scruffy Murphy's Pub and Inn. Like, they couldn't just do like Murphy's. No. It has to be Scruffy Murphy's, and it's like this older dude who's got a big beard and he's, you know,
yeah,
like very scruffy. Scruffy's correct, and Murphy is definitely also correct.
Yeah,
I wonder if Scruffy's is real. I know we know Murphy is his name, but I don't know if I wonder if Scruffy's
I don't think it's his given name.
But even a nickname, or is it just like he went, well, we're gonna go with Scruffy Murphy's?
Who knows? You gotta differentiate yourself somehow.
We also, so we're still, this is pretty early in the movie. This is when James is, for some reason, we got a solo James scene early in the movie.
Yeah, that's weird too.
After that, we get the iconic quote of this movie.
I can't. This is the quote that made me be like, yes, this is definitely AI. I mean, up until then, I turned to you at some point and I was just like, this
you had already
no
said
one
it.
No one speaks like this.
I skipped that part in my notes because you had like we had already
yeah
gone into it, but you literally said that I quoted, this script is like written by AI.
It truly, like, no one speaks like this.
So this is the prime example of that. You get, this is pre-Wish, I think, and it's Heather and who is Aisha Curry.
No, it's not pre-Wish, it's post-Wish.
Is it?
Because he wants to go on a bike ride with her and she's not good at riding a bike.
It's right after the Wish.
Yes.
So she wishes, she's getting married to Paul, and Paul wants to go on a bike ride with her, and she's like, I don't really want to do that. So Emma goes with him instead, and she's like racing him or whatever. And then, so it's just Heather and Maddie standing there, and they're talking about whatever they're talking about. And then Heather goes, you want to pick some apples? And Maddie goes, sure. And then we just get a hard cut, and then it's like just an overarching view of like a drone shot of scenery. And Heather just goes, I literally can't believe we picked so many apples.
See, that's why I really like this movie.
Like, what? What?
It's just not her face. It's just Aisha Curry's voice done in post.
100% in post.
I literally can't believe we picked so many apples.
It's the most artificially written line of all time.
Well, and it's so funny because, like, earlier that day, too, they're eating breakfast, and Aisha Curry's character's like, oh, Maddie, you need to try these delicious local woodland strawberries. But who was going to say that?
She also said that she wanted to make an apple pie for the brother with all the apples. She's like, we should make an apple pie for Corey.
For Mr. Beast.
For Mr. Beast.
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So the other thing about the Cliffs of Moher, I wrote that it's one of the biggest tourist attractions on Earth and not a single person is there. And then Paul later calls it a tourist trap.
When James earlier was like, oh, my God, this is my favorite place on Earth. Maddie's like, oh, my God, it's so amazing. And then Paul's like, you know, it's a tourist trap. And not, it totally is.
But there's,
I mean,
not
it's not a tourist trap. It's just, it's a very popular tourist spot.
It's a, there was not a soul there.
Yeah, that's confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because it they literally is popular, so popular.
They couldn't afford the extras because they were paying Mr. Beast too much to be in this movie.
I guess so.
To be secretly in this movie. I also wrote, this is when they're coming back from the photo shoot and it starts to rain and there's a tree in the middle of the road. So it's just James and Maddie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I know a place we can go to. And where does it go to? Of course, we got to head back. Got to head back to Scruffy Murphy's. So we're in Scruffy Murphy's, and they're like talking to each other, and like James is kind of a,
meanie
through a lot of this early part of the movie.
Yeah, which is the same thing. Cord Overstreet's character in Falling for Christmas was also like so rude. James at least is nicer later. Like Cord Overstreet's character was like literally so mean in Falling for Christmas. I was like, why would anyone like him? And same thing here. We started off, I'm like, why is this guy mean too?
Yeah. Well, what I wrote was, this is one of those movies where the couple gets together because they're locked together, not because they're good for each other. Like they get stuck in the rain. They end up in an inn. They're forced to drink Guinness with each other. Mm-hmm. These people would hate each other in real life. Like it's not how like human interaction and connection works. He was mansplaining darts to her. She was like, can we play darts? I haven't played in a while. And he was like, oh, yeah. Well, for you know, don't move at all. Then you just move your hand. And he's like holding her by the waist like those creepy golf guys. Like, we don't need this. I also wrote, I guess they didn't get the Guinness sponsorship because they keep calling them stouts.
Yeah, but then they did have Guinness later.
There was a Guinness poster in the background, and then they said Guinness. So I was like, "What?" I would have assumed that they would have said, oh, can we just get
AI, baby.
Guinness. Honestly. Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
On the morning of the wedding. Oh, no. First, the dancing scene. Remember the dancing scene in, yes, in the bar?
Of course I do.
It was filmed like a bad commercial.
It was like, if you really want this drug.
It was like a.
Contact your doctor.
It was like an Ozempic commercial or something.
Yes,
people
exactly.
Dancing in an Irish
Wegovy.
Bar. Yeah. Which, Lindsay, I feel like would be in that scene. In that scene of those types of commercials.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. I'm not saying Ozempic in particular, but
she can do whatever she wants. I'll watch it. I don't care.
Clearly. I mean, we've proven that. The next morning, they're at the maze from Saltburn.
Yeah, they were at the maze for Saltburn. We're like, where's Jacob Elordi?
Yeah, James and Maddie are like standing there talking to each other in this like elaborate kind of like hedge.
Well, and the house does look like Saltburn.
Yeah. And you just turned to me and you were like, this is literally the maze from Saltburn. It is not literally the maze from Saltburn,
no.
But it had the same type of vibe to it.
Very much so.
As like that middle courtyard, mm-hmm, where Barry Keoghan meets up with Jake.
I guess it's kind of like a mix of like Saltburn and The Shining.
Yeah. That's pretty much also the level of quality that I ascribed to this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Somewhere between Saltburn and The
Shining. Probably not, no.
No, it's not. It's actually not. Then we're at the altar of the wedding when Paul's getting married to Maddie, and he's just checking out Emma.
Yeah.
Literally at the altar.
Yeah.
So what happens after that is, you know, Maddie comes out in her favorite plaid skirt, which she had mentioned earlier in the movie, mm-hmm, instead of her wedding dress. And she explains not the wish situation, but just the idea that she kind of wanted to take control of her life, and mm-hmm, that her and Paul weren't meant to be together.
And that she actually wrote his famous book.
And that she actually wrote his famous... Did she say that or did James say that?
It was kind of like, no, because he said, you edited my book. And she's like, actually, I wrote it. So she said it.
Yeah. She, mm-hmm, said it for herself.
That's right.
And so that whole thing happens. There's a big like kind of random like melee
fight
between James and Paul.
Yeah.
And it is pretty funny because James is like slapping at
it
him.
It is cute. It's a funny scene.
And so that all happens. Then she goes out to like talk to James afterwards and she kisses him, which she did not kiss Cord Overstreet in Falling for Christmas.
That was movie magic.
Was it not her? It was like from the back, right?
Something like that.
There was like some effect where it was not her. So I wrote, the level of fame that you need to kiss Lindsay Lohan on screen is somewhere between Cord Overstreet and the guy from Aragon.
Yep.
Which is good to know.
Good to know.
Good to know for future
casting decisions.
For future casting decisions. And I also wrote in all caps, yes, Maddie, go get your co-writing credit. Because she said she wanted to be the co-writer on his next book, and he was like, no. So she was like, all right, I'm going to write my own story.
That's right.
Which is a nice little double entendre, mm-hmm, for those of you out there looking for the deeper messages in these films.
That's right.
And then she said later on, so the wish gets reversed, and then she ends up meeting James outside of Scruffy Murphy's.
Yeah.
Because St. Bridget, who's the lady from the beginning, was like around messing with everything. And she tells him that she's writing a book, and he's like, oh, what are you writing a book on? And she was like, The Cliffs of Moher. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
So then they go back to the Cliffs of Moher. I just wrote completely unironically. So they go back to the Cliffs of Moher, and she's like asking him questions that they had already talked about in the Wish section of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That she already knew the answer to, which I thought was a little weird.
Well, you know what? I would just chalk it up to someone who maybe Facebook stalked someone before their date.
Yes, I wrote that
like,
down that you said.
Oh,
that.
How's your mom doing? Oh, really? She works at here? Oh, I totally didn't know that.
Totally didn't see that she updated her job status last week.
Exactly.
And then my final thing was, do you think Jane Seymour knows she's in this movie? And I really don't think that she does. I think now she does. But I don't think when she was filming she knew. I think she had to do some press for it. I think I saw her do an interview.
Yes, she did. Yeah, I mean,
that's
I don't
Irish
know.
Wish, baby.
I kind of liked it. I got to be honest. I thought it was awful, but I did like it.
If you're a fan of Lindsay Lohan and you tolerated Falling for Christmas,
you'll like it.
You'll like it.
Yeah, exactly. I think Lindsay is good as always. She's lovely. I think that there was more chemistry between her and the lead love interest than there was in Falling for Christmas.
Well, I think he's a better actor. I think he's proven with his body of work that he's a better. Not that he's, you know, freaking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right,
but he's
good. He's solid.
Yeah.
And I of course, I love an Irish setting, even though, like, it was all so cliche.
It was so cliche, and if you had changed the setting, like, there's nothing particularly Irish about this movie.
Besides all the cliches.
I guess, but I mean, like, you could make that sort of cliche about anything. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, if you compare this to The Banshees of Inisherin, I said last night.
I mean, yeah, no.
But, I mean, in terms of its Irishness, mm-hmm. it's not even close.
No. There's no Irish humor to it.
There's no Irish people in it.
There's no Irish people in it. True.
Other than Scruffy Murphy and James's weird friend from the bar.
Before we get into our questions, can we just do my dad's review?
Of course.
Let me see if I can get it up here. So my dad said, a typical Netflix garbage movie, always a disappointment.
Okay, so there's two parts to this review, clearly. Typical garbage Netflix movie. Sure. That's mm-hmm. fine. I don't think that that's a controversial opinion. Netflix is pretty well known for just churning stuff out.
Yeah. We don't watch a lot of Netflix originals.
And there's a reason for that.
Exactly. My dad does, though.
But what I will say is that I love the portion of the review that's a terrible... What was it? Such a disappointment?
Always a disappointment.
Always a disappointment. Like, I love the idea of having the expectation
that it's going to be good this time.
And the disappointment brings that expectation
that
down.
That Irish Wish is going to be really good, that we're going to watch it the night it comes out.
Yes. And not record a podcast on it. I wouldn't have watched it last night if...
Let's be honest, it's iconic.
It is amazing. I love that review.
Me too. All right. So let's get into it here. What do you think are the best and worst aspects of this movie?
Lindsay Lohan is the best aspect of this movie.
Always is.
Not even close.
Yeah.
She still has the star power. She still has the charisma. I want her to be using it better.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to... I hope that these are... We were talking to Alex today, and he was like, I think she just needs to get the reps up. Get the rust off. Get the sort of warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's the case. And it's not like Lindsay was ever in these, like incredible dramas or anything like that. But
right.
I would love to see her in, like a really good, really good movie again.
Me too.
And I think she's young enough. She's doing her thing. So hopefully we will get that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Worst part of the movie is everything else.
It's got to be the screenplay.
But it is, of course, the screenplay.
It is so bad.
It is atrocious. It's one of the worst screenplays I think I've ever.
I said to you that it should be inspirational for you to get back out there with your writing.
Yeah.
And there's simply no way it could be worse.
I think if I plugged a prompt into ChatGPT, I could come out with a better one than this.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would be able to edit it better.
Yeah, totally.
Than something like this.
It's so good. I mean, I agree. That's just it.
There's nothing that needed. This movie did not need to exist in any way, shape, or form.
Well, let's talk about that. If they were to do a third movie, and I thought of this, okay.
I asked you that. I have the same question.
You got Janine and Lindsay back together, our director and our star.
This is like Scorsese and DiCaprio.
I know it's only a two movie deal, but if they make a third one, what should the premise be? And I have a really specific answer.
Go ahead.
So what I'm thinking is both of these movies have something around a particular season or holiday or whatever.
This is not technically a St. Patrick's Day movie.
No, it's not, but it was released on St. Patrick, like around St. Patrick's Day weekend. And there's always this kind of weird element of either fantasy or somebody forgetting something, like your memory loss, right? The first one had Santa. This one had St. Bridget. So this is my premise. I wanted to add in a New Jersey connection here.
Yes.
So I said, it's summertime, summer vacation. Maybe it's around 4th of July. And Lindsay, she goes to a fortune teller on the boardwalk.
Ah, a little big action.
She's on a vacation to the Jersey Shore. And she's visiting her her boyfriend's family for the first time. And the fortune teller predicts that she would fall in love with her boyfriend's twin brother. And then everything that the fortune teller predicts starts happening.
So is there a holiday connection to this? Or is it just like summer in the shore?
I would say summer at the shore. You could make it a Labor Day. You could do a 4th of July. Like it's up. That would be fun with like a hot dog contest.
Yeah.
And fireworks and stuff like that.
Jersey Jubilee, something like that.
Something like, yeah, the Jersey Jubilee, like welcoming in summer, you know, something like that.
I mean, that would be the title of the movie.
Oh, yeah, Jersey Jubilee.
Something like that.
That's perfect. I think we could write that, to be honest.
We literally, anyone could write that.
Janine, get at us.
Get us on the phone, Janine.
We are real people.
Yes, I can. we can prove it. We'll meet in person, unlike the last writer.
We could get somebody from like a mid-tier Netflix TV show to star.
Oh, please, please.
Maybe
please.
The guy, the friend from Euphoria that was in that Christmas show a couple years ago. You know, Kat's boyfriend. You know, remember that guy?
I don't remember that.
He would be perfect. Him and Lindsay, you can't beat it.
What's the age difference there?
Actually, he's kind of young. That might not work.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
By the time you hear this, by the time you get in touch with us, we will have an answer for you on who.
I know who it could be. It could be the guy from Never Have I Ever, who was like 29 during the first season.
Yes, perfect. So he's like 40 now.
Exactly. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And he's actually a pretty good actor.
Great. Got any more?
That's my premise. Do you have a premise?
Oh, no. I thought we were just rolling with yours.
Oh, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
I like Jersey Jubilee.
Jersey Jubilee. Get at us. What movie was better, this one or Falling for Christmas?
Also a question that I asked you. This movie was better and worse than Falling for Christmas.
I agree. I can't decide. I think I like this one more.
I think I like this one more. And I think that the reason being, the highs for all these movies are never that high. But the lows in Falling for Christmas were worse than the lows in Irish Wish. The whole side storyline with Tad in Falling for Christmas.
Bad.
Absolutely atrocious. It was almost like it was trying to capitalize on like the Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Like the David in Schitt's Creek type of character.
Yeah.
And it was just horrible because it wasn't Dan Levy.
I believed the romance more in this one than I did in Falling for Christmas.
Slightly. They also had slightly more screen time, I feel like.
Yeah.
And in this one, I liked in this one that there was kind of a conflict. Like the other one was just related to like the ski lodge. And like, I don't
know. Yeah. And I don't like, it's just like, oh, can we afford the ski lodge anymore? And it's like, I don't know. Like, boring.
Then the grandma was off-putting to me in the other movie.
Yeah, the grandma was wild.
Evil grandma, who is not actually evil, but I think was evil secretly. this one didn't have anyone like that, but I liked also that there was a B storyline. I liked the Emma and
another
Paul,
romance.
Like, side thing.
Yeah.
That it was like, not only was Lindsay doing this for herself, but she was doing this for her friend, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even if her friend is not ultimately going to end up with Paul forever, because we don't know how that's going to go, and also he's kind of a loser, but...
Paul was kind of funny, though.
He was funny. But I think the lows in Falling for Christmas, just, I would rather watch this. And Falling for Christmas, I think, has better reviews.
It does. But. And I did like Falling for Christmas too. I liked both of these, even though I think they're both bad movies, but I still like them.
I think that they're both tolerable.
And Lindsay makes it that way.
Without Lindsay, they're not movies.
Right.
Like
they're literally not movies.
They're not movies.
Yeah, totally. That's all I got for questions.
All right. If you sat in the wishing chair and had to ask for one thing to make this movie better, what would it be?
It'd be something that actually happens in this movie, which is I would wish for, but here's the thing, it might be an issue. So I would wish for all the places that I go on vacation to be minimally crowded.
Right.
So like if I go to Paris, I can take a really good picture in front of the Eiffel Tower and not feel like I have to go there at 5 a.m., you know, so that I can be one of the only people there. Here's the problem, though. I feel like they'll be like, great. And then it'll be another pandemic. So no one can leave their house. So then I'll be the only one that, you know,
that'll be the downside of the wish.
Yeah. How there's always like a downside to the wish. That's what I would worry about is like, oh, is it 28 days later? And I have to like escape zombies to be able to stand in front of Big Ben, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be, if I could do that and say, and have it be completely normal and fine, that would be my wish. What would be your wish?
Well, I would wish for a human writer, first of all, which we've already covered that. I would say besides that, I wish that there was a better, there was a more meat in the supporting cast.
Oh, for the movie. I thought you meant for my life.
No, I meant for the movie. But
for my life.
Oh. For my life? I don't got one for my life. My life is perfect.
Oh, okay.
but no, I think that if we had had something that was kind of a, I don't know, the performance is out of the backup cast.
They were fine.
If we had something a little bit better, I think it would have elevated the whole movie.
Okay.
Not that, again, I came into this movie thinking Aisha Curry was going to be unwatchable.
She wasn't.
She was not really in it.
She
had the funniest line in the movie, unintentionally.
Yeah, she was fine. She was actually fine.
She was fine.
Yeah.
Do I want to see her in more stuff? No, not necessarily. Right. Not that I wouldn't, but like it doesn't affect me one way or the other.
Yeah, which is all you can ask for, to be
honest.
Which
is better than I would have asked for. Have you ever seen the movie Bedazzled?
No, but I know it's Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley. So he basically, he's like a guy and he wants to.
And she's the devil, right?
She's the devil. He has a girl who he wants to ask out, and he says he'll give anything to be with her. And of course, the devil, Elizabeth Hurley, says, sure, I'll give you a contract. You sign this contract, and, you know, you'll be with her. And so, of course, everything he asks for. So it's the same type of concept where he's always unhappy. Mm-hmm. It's always, she always, like, adds something in.
Yeah,
that is That is, like, unhappy.
You got to watch out for those contracts.
Yeah, so, exactly. So, for example, he wishes to be president of the United States. Like, this is like way later on in the movie. Yeah. And she makes him Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater. So it's like, it reminded me of that.
Funny.
I liked that movie. I watched it when I was younger. I don't know if it's like.
Yeah. I know Elizabeth Hurley's gorgeous.
And I don't know how it holds up. Part of it too. Yeah. But it's great. And this movie, the concept just reminded me of that movie. And I wanted to give a shout out to Bedazzled.
Shout out Bedazzled.
Starring Best Actor winner Brendan Fraser.
That's right.
What else we got?
Killers of the Flower Moon standout.
Yes, yes. So we already talked about if we got another movie like this from Lindsay. We talked about whether it was better than Falling for Christmas. And then my only other question is, you can take this in one. I'm going to give you a two-sided question. You can pick which side you want to go with.
Okay.
How would you kind of book the second act of Lindsay's career? So
I got this.
My other one would be, how would you get Lindsay an Oscar?
Okay, so this is what I would do. I don't think an Oscar is the goal here. I think if she ends up with one, that's amazing. I love that, right? But I think that could be a later in life thing, kind of third act sort of thing. Here's what I would do. I think that she's doing the right thing here. She's going in and she's doing her streaming romantic comedies. It's lighthearted. She's proving that she's the best part of each of these movies.
She's getting her sea legs back.
She is. And she's a star. She's proving to me she has that star power, never gone, right? So what I would do if I were her is I would maybe add on another one of these. Do three.
Well, I mean,
Jersey Jubilee.
After Jersey Jubilee, after we become billionaires off of Jersey Jubilee.
I say do three Netflix streaming movies. Okay. Make sure that the third one's the best one.
I mean, she set the bar pretty low. So
make sure that this one's pretty good, this last one. Okay. Then what I would do is I would do the Freaky Friday sequel with Jamie Lee Curtis. Make sure that it's good and that it's popular. Okay. She was in a Mean Girls cameo earlier this year. Great, 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 great. Okay. Once you do Freaky Friday 2, more freaky, more Friday.
Yes. Freakier Friday.
Freakier Friday. You can then, listen, choose a prestige director that has a little quirkiness to them, and you can do a supporting role in one of their movies. I want to see maybe she could be in maybe like Jordan Peele's next movie. Just a small role.
Yeah.
right?
I could see her in a movie like that playing herself, even.
Totally. You know, you could do, like, maybe be, like, a tiny part in Tarantino's last movie.
That would be great.
Right? Like, do something like that.
To sort of get you in like,
your
the next
foot's
level.
In the door.
Yeah.
With that next level stuff. And then when you get that buzziness from it, because it's a pretty like prestige director, why can't you be in Yorgos Lanthimos' new movie, right? Like something like that, like a little off kilter. And she was in an Altman movie.
She was
back in the day. Like, come on. And then you can kind of try to do something lead in a movie that maybe is more of a drama, or I don't even think it needs to be a drama.
It doesn't need to be a drama.
I think she should do something that really plays to her strength, like being in a really good theatrical release romantic comedy movie.
Or even something like a Top Gun.
It
doesn't have to be like a hard-hitting.
I would say something like a blockbuster, a crowd pleaser, something fun, something that is good, but that is still within her wheelhouse.
Within her wheelhouse and can use her personality correctly.
Exactly. I think that's her. That should be her career moves. I have no experience in any of this.
Well, guess what? I have good news for you. There is a third Lohan Netflix movie coming out with a different director and a better cast.
Oh, really?
So the director
is not Jersey Jubilee, though.
The director is Stephen Herrick, who directed Critters, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I feel like we've talked about this guy before on our podcast.
We talked about him because he was the director of The Mighty Ducks.
There you have it.
So he's a legitimate director with a Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Our Little Secret. Two resentful exes are forced to spend Christmas under the same roof after discovering that their current partners are siblings.
Wow. Wait, and I'm in.
Look at this?
No, I didn't know this existed.
That they're siblings. It was like almost exactly similar to the plot that you were talking
about. I had no idea.
So it stars Lindsay Lohan, of course, and it also has Kristen Chenoweth.
Great.
It has Ian Harding, who was in Pretty Little Liars.
Yep.
It has John Rudnitsky.
Uh-huh.
It has Chris Parnell, Tim Meadows.
Oh.
We're good. We're cooking.
We got this.
We're cooking right now. I think we got this. It's going to be released later this year. So we've got that one on the books. Then we're going to have Freaky Friday 2, which we talked about. And then, again, hopefully Freaky Friday 2 isn't a disaster.
No, and I don't think it will be.
It doesn't have to even live up to the 2003
one. No, it just has to be a crowd pleaser.
It has to be pretty good.
Yes.
And hopefully it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think once we're there, that's our jumping off point. I agree. I think she's got to do some small roles. I could have seen her in a little like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood moment.
Exactly.
I think that we're on the right track here with getting Lindsay's career to that next level.
Like
again.
A Babylon little cameo, right. Like something like that where it's just like.
She could have been in like Barbie.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I think that's all the questions I've got.
Great.
Because we sort of hit. I mean, how much can we talk about this movie? Yeah, I think that's all I got. Obviously, there's no Roger Ebert.
I literally can't believe how many apples we picked.
Literally. I literally cannot believe how many apples we picked. So does Irish Wish make Baby's First Watch List?
Yeah.
I agree, and I agree because I think that it is important to spread the gospel of Lindsay Lohan.
I agree.
And was it the first Lindsay Lohan movie I'm going to show?
No.
No. But if our sons are into Freaky Friday, if they're into The Parent Trap,
yeah.
If we don't want them to watch Machete just yet.
Not quite yet.
If they're not really, if they didn't love Nashville, we don't want them to watch Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they're not super into Cars. We don't want them to watch Herbie Fully Loaded. Also, because I've never seen that movie, but I think it's pretty bad.
I think it's okay.
Irish Wish would be like maybe in my first 10 Lindsay Lohan movies I show. But yeah, sure, why not? There's nothing in here that's inappropriate, really. Or
no.
There's like one scene where he's like in the shower, but it's like a joke scene.
Yeah, it's not anything.
And I don't know, maybe their kids will be big Mr. Beast fans. They'll probably think Mr. Beast is lame by the time that. Or he'll be like in jail or something. Anything can happen with Mr. Beast.
I don't know him.
We don't know. But so I'm thinking in 10 years or whatever. When they're familiar enough, where we've gotten through enough of the watch list to get all the way to Irish Wish.
They can watch it.
And I think by that point, Mr. Beast will be a little probably out. So maybe they'll be happy that it's not Mr. Beast in this movie.
We'll see.
We will see. Yeah, so that's Irish Wish. Thank you for bearing with us here.
I enjoyed myself.
It was fine. If you watched the movie and you got this far in the episode, I'm sure that you probably enjoyed it to some degree.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So next week we're working on having our a double guest. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We're working on having both Uncle Nicks on.
We have lots of Uncle Nicks.
There's a thousand Uncle Nicks. Two of the Uncle Nicks on for Mission Impossible. We're gonna sort of rubber band back to the other end of the spectrum from Irish Wish.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay did some of her own stunts in this movie, so it is a little bit of Tom Cruise action. So we will be doing the very first Mission Impossible. I'm excited for it. I've never seen it.
I have seen it. I'm less excited.
People love the series, mm-hmm. so we'll see. I always thought it was like, I was never into like spy stuff, not into like the Bourne series.
No.
But I don't know. Cruise has a way with action movies, so
he's great.
We will see how it goes. Thank you for tuning in and making it this far through Irish Wish.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said at the beginning, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Babies First Watch List, and on our new Letterboxd page, at BFW Podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you next week for Mission Impossible.
Okay, Aaron, go bra.
See you later.
Bye.